Welcome to the Eat and Elevate podcast. With I'm your host from coast to coast, coaching and collaborating, doing the most, chewing on topics guaranteed to feed, educate and motivate so you succeed, in spirit, soul and body that supersedes all fears and doubts that the devil brings, and we posting weekly to meet your needs. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Eat and Elevate with Rhonda. So much is going on in our world and happening daily. Events are taking shape and we are all interdependent pieces of this massive puzzle. We are more connected than not. Nothing that any of us does is in a vacuum alone. A decision or action that one makes impacts us all. Let me qualify all of this. That fateful decision that our first parents, Adam and Eve, made still impacts us today in 2024. Way back then, God said to the serpent, "For your actions, I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman, God said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow or hardship and your conception, in pain you shall bring forth children." Then to the man, God said, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow or hardship, you shall eat of it all the days of your life." See, so one decision brought hatred accompanied by hardship. So every problem you or I will ever face in this life, its origins can be traced back to these passages found in Genesis chapter 3. Financial problems, health problems, wife problems, husband problems, kid problems, job problems, you name it. Every problem originates with there being enmity or hatred between you and the serpent or the devil, accompanied by hardship. But if you keep reading, in fact, I encourage you to read the first three chapters of Genesis. Heck, read the whole book. Read the whole chapter. God Almighty counters the enemy's hatred with his amazing redemptive love for us in the person of Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. So today, I want to dive into some mindsets that some may have that is keeping you sidelined and out of this committed relationship with the Lord. This first mindset says, "I don't believe that this God, Jesus of the Bible, is real, and therefore I don't see the purpose or need in reading the Bible." So when we peel back the layers on this mindset, what you are really saying is that you believe that there is no God. I think that's where all this New Age universe, quote unquote, talk stems from. Rather than out and out saying there's no God, some of you ascribe everything to the universe, a created thing. Rather than giving credence to the creator of all things, according to the Bible, this sort of mindset makes you a fool. Now, I'm not saying that you're a fool, but in Psalms 53, verse 13, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So it is amazing to me that you can go to sleep at night and not believe in the one who gives you breath to breathe. And then in the morning or whenever you wake, open your eyes, pull your body up, step out of the bed and go about your day, not giving one thought to the fact that there must be a God divinely orchestrating life, death and everything in between, to whom we owe total and complete gratefulness to. Not to be morbid, but do you know that as of my speaking right now, that there have been over 40,000 deaths and counting that have occurred throughout the world today. Literally, thousands of people will not wake up again in this life. Breath and therefore life has departed from them. And when that happens, our soul and spirit goes to one of two places, either paradise with Jesus or to hell with wickedness. There is no in between. The decisions we make in this life determines our final destination. And so do you really deny that God exists? Because everything that we see, the sky, the atmospheric heaven, wind, and even our very being testifies that God is real. Scripture says it this way, "For what can be known about God is plain to us, because God has shown it to us. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature,
have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that we are without excuse. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And just as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. As it relates to the Bible and its authenticity, what other book is there written thousands of years ago using 40 or so writers who live during different time frames but can all speak of events with complete accuracy that have and are coming to fruition? What other book is there? The Bible is distinct from all other writings that is living and active because it is the words of a living and active God. You could have read it 20 years ago. You can read it today and you can read it in the future, and it will still be pertinent and speak to all of your situations. It is the primary source from which all other religious books have taken excerpts and passages to build their framework. There is no other book like it. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The reason why people don't read the Bible or make excuses for not reading the Bible, it is because as you read it, it will read you. And the reality is that we in this putrid flesh like to do what we do with no accountability, as we take no responsibility for our actions and decisions. Deep down in the soulish part of you, you know that the God of the Bible, the most holy God, exists, and you know that the Bible is real. And you play right into the hand of your enemy when you don't read it. In fact, when you try to read it, you all of a sudden develop sleep apnea, which only comes about when you open up your Bible. But let your remote thumbs flip to a football game or your favorite Prime or Netflix show or YouTube video, you can stay up all night watching endless episodes. As prophetess Tiffany Montgomery says, we are failing an open book test. Do you not see how your enemy is manipulating you? And to that, I'll say you may not be just a biblical fool, but you may literally be a Merriam-Webster's dictionary definition of a fool. Your judgment is lacking. Who would side with their enemy against their own self? Who does that? Your enemy has you duped, and you're headed for self-destruction. Do y'all remember that song? That classic hip-hop song? Self-destruction. You're headed for self-destruction. Self-destruction. You're headed for self-destruction. I mean, that's what's happening now. And so for some of you youngsters who may not know that song, go on YouTube and look it up. It's classic hip hop. And that's what hip hop's supposed to sound like. Not this garbage y'all got out today. But I digress. So now let's talk about the second mindset that many of us have. It's this thinking of being quote unquote good, or that you're a quote unquote good person, or you say it don't really take all of that. So right now I want to annihilate this whole notion of being good. You are not good. I am not good. Nothing about us is good. Left to ourselves and our own devices, and if we were placed in optimal situations under extreme circumstances, you, me, we are liable to do anything. Let somebody cross a boundary that you deem untouchable. There's no telling what you would do. Think about it for a minute. Really think about it. Like, think of yesterday or the day before yesterday, I read in the news that an 8-year-old girl was with her mom at Grand Central Station in New York City, minding their own business. And a grown man walked up to the little girl and punched her in the face for no reason at all. He leveled that little girl to the ground, an 8-year-old. So listen, let somebody roll up on me and my grandsons and attempt to punch him in the face. My Holy Ghost filled, born again, Nani Bear self will rise up, and I can tell you for a total fact, nothing good is going to happen after that. And if that were to happen to you, your mind is going to go to a whole other place and none of it is good. Jesus even settled the issue when a certain man came to him. Jesus responds by saying, "None are good but God Almighty." So now that we've established that none of us are good, so then what you really are referring to is that you do good works. But your good works, now hear me, do not and will not save you. This is why we see all of these ungodly people with these foundations giving away untold millions, and they fake pretend like they are doing all of these great and admirable works for the less fortunate, when in fact they are just trying to buy their way into heaven, thinking that their quote unquote good works will garner some favor with God, forgetting that God knows the intents and motives of the heart. However, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast." So what is grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. It's unmerited favor. And let me give you an example that, you know, we all could probably relate to. So, you know, you normally get up early and drive to work, but on this particular day, you oversleep and it takes you a little longer to, you know, to get dressed, to get out the door and, to get in your car and to get to work. But on the ride, you learn that there was a terrorist attack with airplanes and the building you work in collapsed. Many people had a similar testimony on 9/11 when the World Trade Center was hit. That is grace. The fact that your body, God, it's not just you. God allowed you to oversleep, to not wake up at the time you were supposed to get up when, because had you woken up at the appointed time, you would have died that day. Many people died that day. But there are many people who share testimonies that they didn't, you know, something happened and they didn't get to the office when they should have. That is the definition of grace, unmerited favor. So now it's not your works, but it's so your authentic confession of faith, belief in Jesus and being born again is what secures your place in heaven. It is not your good works. However, the byproduct of that confession of faith will result in your doing good works that you will be rewarded for both in this life and that which is to come. Your good works will perish with you in hell if you have not made a confession of faith in Jesus alone. That's just the reality. Now, to this mindset that it doesn't take all of that. Well, who are you to judge? You, as a created thing, are not afforded the privilege of telling the Creator what this Christian life requires. Did Jesus hem and haw when it was time to go to the cross to be beaten, bruised, wounded, crushed, pierced, bludgeoned, spat upon for our sins, and say to the Father, "It don't take all of that"? No. Because he knew redeeming our funky, nasty, despicable, disgusting, sinful souls required all of that. So now let's just deal with this final mindset that we'll deal with today. We'll discuss today is this notion of I got time, or I want to get myself together first. Now, this is a whole lie sent from the chiefest of liars, the devil. None of us has time. Not one of us own time. In fact, the Bible says it this way: "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. None of us know when we will breathe our last. No moment is promised to any of us. As my brother would say, we don't have now, we have right now. That's all we got. You think because you are 20 or 30 that you have time, but you don't if you check out of here a day, a week, a month, or a year later. And today that is happening. People are dying left and right and haven't even cracked 40. Like I shared earlier, 40 some odd thousand people and counting have died worldwide today. How many do you think lived lives? And when I say 40,000 people, it's right now, I believe it's like 8 o'clock in the morning where I'm at. 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So now, how many do you think live lives realizing the purposes and plans God intended? Let me ask you this. Are you living the life that God purposed and planned and intended? And if you are waiting until you can get yourself together, well, then you will never come. And your enemy will see to it that every distraction imaginable is thrown at you. The reason why I think so many use this as an excuse is because of fear. You are afraid of what others will say or what they will think. Your fear of another's opinion keeps you bound to a life of living as the tail instead of the head you were created to be. Did you know that the average lifespan today is now 73 years old? The Bible says that the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. And anything beyond that, in my opinion, are bonus years. So if you are 40, 50, 60, or God forbid, if you are 70 years old and haven't or have just come to the Lord, there is so much that you have missed out on from a God perspective. So many plans and purposes unfulfilled in you that the Lord had to assign that work to someone else, and they are now reaping the rewards that was originally designed for you. None of us has time to waste. There are specific works that God intended your life to accomplish. And when you didn't show up for duty, He placed that desire in someone else to pick up and run with it. So while you are down here concerned about an opinion of someone that has no heaven or hell to put you in, your life is stagnated because you haven't gotten a revelation of the importance and pricelessness value and the priceless value of time. Yes, you go through the motions and fill your days with activities that when it's all said and done and you are standing before God and He opens the books and shows you the volume of books He had for you, yet you never progress past the second page of the second chapter of the first book. The things which would have brought you such satisfaction, gratification, and fulfillment in this life never materialized. Now, I'm not trying to beat up on you, but I am trying to stress the gravity of the times that we are living in. The stage has been set, events are shaping up, and enemy alliances have formed. Now, I'm not saying that the end of the world as we know it is happening tomorrow, because I really don't know. But things are changing fast. Entire industries are being decimated. Thousands of people have and are being laid off. Many people, you know, are dying left and right. Artificial intelligence is no longer on a movie screen. It's now in our everyday life. Our money system is changing. And while we're here, let me just pause for a moment. I want all of you to go look up CBDC, which stands for Central Banking Digital Currency. And here's a newsflash. It is not the same as cryptocurrency. Do not fall for that lie. All right, now I'm back. So why am I telling you all of this? It's because we are in a war and some of you are behind enemy lines. You are a POW, a prisoner of war. And the saddest part about this is you have been taken captive and don't even know it. You lack judgment in realizing that all that we have been experiencing out in the open and in living color since 2020 is an onslaught battle of good versus evil. The kingdom of God versus the kingdom of darkness. There is no shortage of signs out here warning you. Many like myself are putting our comfortability on the line, trying to rescue you, and are taking active enemy fire because we love you and are not trying to leave you behind. You see, the enemy you have cozied up with hates you and is sifting you to distract you, to deceive you, to then devour you. He wants to enlarge hell with your soul. So I am asking you to get your mind right. And the number one way for you to do that is to get into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about church attendance, going to mass, religion, or denominations. None of that equates to having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and making him Lord over your life. It's time to stop playing with this thing and come on in and take your place in the kingdom where you can be equipped with spiritual weapons to fight this spiritual battle. This war is not going to be fought in some faraway place. No, it's going to be up close and personal right in front of your nose. It's time out for having loyalty to a pastor, church building, or a denomination that has a form of godliness, but absolutely no dunamis power. You've been attending what I call applesauce church. It's all mush and no substance. And it seems the bigger the building, the more the mush. There's no power there, no power to get you delivered so that you can walk in authority. Heck, they don't even teach you that you have authority. They don't teach you how to use your sword, which is the word of God, and that it is voice activated. You must read it, speak it, and believe it. They don't teach you about any of the weapons that God has placed at our disposal so that when the enemy comes, and he is coming, you know how to defend yourself. What they do teach you is how to be a victim, how to be triggered. Rather than calling out sin, they normalize sin so that you stay comfortable in your sin. Have they even walked you through the scriptures to explain to you what we are experiencing now throughout the world? Have they explained to you that what happens in Israel impacts the world? That Israel and America are the two nations that belong to God? So what am I saying? Playtime is over. It is time to get your mind right. It is time to come into right relationship with Jesus Christ. It is time for you to get on this side, the winning side, because if you read through to the end of the book, the end of the Bible, we win. They lose, the enemy loses, and we win. So y'all, that's it. I'm going to leave it right here. So again, I thank you all for listening, sharing, and supporting this podcast. Let me bless your life. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. God bless.
Next time, thank you for hanging out and listening to the Eat and Elevate with Rhonda podcast.